That's it.
Thank you.
The title of this presentation is An Employer Pays for Population Health, Quantifying the Direct and Indirect Costs of the Top 20 Health Condition Cost Drivers at One Employer. I want to thank you all for coming and listening. And there's my disclosure. All right, quick overview. Basically, there are two research objectives here. The first objective was to quantify the direct and indirect costs of the top 20 health condition cost drivers in one workforce population. Secondarily, we wanted to do this by relying solely on administrative data sources to identify those conditions and then attribute the costs accordingly. Just a quick outline here. I'm going to introduce this research topic briefly and cover the methods very briefly and spend most of the time in the findings and discussion. And there's also an appendix if you want to go online and read more about the methods. All right, so the perspective that we took in this research is really the employer's perspective on the economic burden of disease in the workforce. And when you think about economic burden of disease, there are really two basic cost areas. The first are direct healthcare claims costs, so that's things like doctor bills, hospital bills, pharmacy bills. But also there's another area that's often missed, but it's an important piece of the picture, and that's indirect labor costs. Things like absenteeism, presenteeism, disability, turnover, that kind of thing. Now both of these cost areas together have a significant impact, a negative impact on the bottom line for employers in this country. So the question is, how should employers deal with that burden? And really the trend in the past decade has been disease management. A recent survey by Hewitt last year, 75% of employers reported that they offer disease management to their employees. And so that kind of begs the question, what diseases did traditional disease management focus on? And that was kind of what's known as the DM5. And these are the five traditional diseases: diabetes, coronary artery disease, congestive heart failure, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and asthma. And what these diseases have in common is that relatively high cost per case for people with the disease, and traditionally this disease management would even focus further on the highest cost members with those diseases. So all this begs the research question of what actual health conditions drive total costs in workforce population. And this research is focusing on answering this question for one employer in particular. All right, I'm going to touch on the methods briefly. We actually published an article in May of this year on Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine on just depression and anxiety disorders, and that really describes the methods in detail. What we're really going to focus on part of the study of dealing with the top 20 health conditions today. Basically, just in brief, this was a cross-sectional analysis of administrative data. The independent variable is employee disease status. And that was identified from episodes in healthcare claims data in 2004, using Congenics episode of care grouper. And basically, those are clinically homogenous risk-adjusted units of analysis derived from medical claims and pharmacy data. Our dependent variables are two basic areas: direct healthcare claims costs and indirect labor costs. So the direct component is inpatient costs, professional and outpatient costs, and pharmacy costs. And the indirect component is absenteeism, presenteeism, short-term and long-term disability, and family medical leave, as well as turnover and workers' comp. Also, the study underwent IRB approval, and a third party was actually used to merge and blind the individual level data of employees and basically the medical claims data with our human resources and personnel data. All right, the time frame we're talking about here is calendar year 2004, and we're looking only at employees, not their dependents, of an insurance company in the southeastern United States. Maybe you can guess what that is. Basically, the medical and pharmacy claims, as well as the personnel and benefits data, were obtained and merged at the individual level. So we're talking about 4,100 employees, roughly. 97% of those were included in our study because we only included employees with approved medical benefits. And importantly, if you look at the age and gender breakdown, that median age was 38, and the population was roughly 80% getting into the findings, just from a broad total healthcare cost perspective, there are roughly $23.2 million in costs in 2004. That worked out to about $5,600 per FTE. If we were to break that out between direct costs and indirect costs, it's roughly 60-40, 60% direct costs, 40% indirect costs. The biggest cost area would be professional and outpatient visits, the costs associated with those 38%. Inpatient costs are close to 7%, pharmacy costs around 14%. The second biggest cost area would be sick leave or absenteeism at 23.5%. Workers' comp make up another small portion. All right, so what we did is we attributed these costs to different disease conditions in the population, and then we ranked those based on total costs. So if you look here, I'll draw your attention to the top five conditions in this population in terms of total costs. And those are joint degeneration, benign neoplasms, gastroenterological infections and inflammations, hypertension, and depression and anxiety disorders. Another thing that you may note here is there's some significant variation in terms of the proportion of direct to indirect costs depending on the disease. So for diseases like asthma or depression and anxiety disorders, you see kind of a higher proportion of indirect to direct costs, whereas for conditions like malignant neoplasms and coronary disease, you see a higher proportion of direct costs. And that's probably what we would expect for conditions that are more intensive in terms of the kind of medical treatment that you would see. Those costs are going to outweigh things like absenteeism. All right, another way of looking at this would be in terms of mean cost per diseased employee or prevalence. And what you can see here is the top five conditions really are conditions that are higher prevalence in the population and lower average cost per case. You can especially see that with hypertension. That's at over 20% prevalence. And then some other conditions on here, such as coronary disease, for example, we see relatively lower percent prevalence, but a lot higher cost per diseased employee. Okay, so this slide is doing is really making a case for expanding beyond traditional disease management. If you look at the traditional DM5 at the bottom there, that's $1.5 million in total cost. So it's still something employers are going to be concerned about managing. But contrast that with the top five conditions in this study, which were about six times greater in terms of total cost, $6.3 million. Okay, so now what do these results mean? First of all, talking about some of the limitations in this research. Because we relied on administrative data sources, there are pluses and minuses to doing that. And one thing is that employee medical conditions that were untreated or undiagnosed in a claims record went uncounted. So we think that the prevalence rates we're reporting for hypertension, hyperlipidemia, depression, and anxiety disorders, as well as what we saw for obesity, are probably artificially low. In terms of generalizability, this population is 80% female. Majority were located in the southeastern United States, and majority were white-collar workers, so there's going to be some limited generalizability. Also, the short-term disability costs were probably underestimated because all we could get from the vendor was the total claims paid out. We couldn't really get a record of the absences for short-term disability, and we limited our absenteeism costs to 5 days or fewer just because we didn't want to double count the short-term disability. Absenteeism estimates, these were conservative. What we did is we relied on the dates of service on a medical claim, so inpatient hospital or outpatient visit dates of service. If they happened on a work day, then we would count someone as absent, but obviously we would miss people who just stayed home from work sick without a doctor visit. Also, I should note the explanatory power of the regression model that we use to attribute presenteeism hours. It's working at reduced productivity to disease status is weak. So we, quantified all kinds of presenteeism in the population. And we know that there are all kinds of reasons for working at reduced productivity besides disease. But we were only able to attribute 6.6% of that to disease. And probably in reality, there's more out there that our model was unable to detect. But for this employer, in terms of total costs, hypertension actually costs more than coronary artery disease, if you look at it over the total population. We also saw a lot of variation in direct versus indirect costs by disease state. And finally, looking at and quantifying the indirect costs in addition to the direct costs enabled us to have a better understanding of the total financial impairment to the employer due to employee disease. So in terms of implications, what we would advocate, certainly for this particular employer, would be to expand beyond traditional disease management to a more population-based approach that would address a larger segment of the workforce, and specifically conditions such as hypertension, orthopedic conditions, depression and anxiety disorders, benign tumors, as well as gastroenterological conditions. Another thing we would encourage is that it's important to measure employee indirect costs that are attributable to disease in addition to the direct costs. That really enables us to get the full picture about what's going on in the workforce. And this is important not just for employers to see what's happening, but I would also say, you know, to us as public health researchers, occupational health researchers, health services researchers, to really get an understanding of the true economic burden of disease to employers in this country. With that, I'll bring my presentation to a close. You can see this appendix online that really gets into detail about how we measure and quantify direct and indirect costs in areas. Thank you very much.
Dr. Ewan?
Yes.
Welcome.
Sorry,
it's okay. Glad to have you here.
Hey. I know Dr. Stephanie says hello to you.
Oh, thank you.